Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Lord, I just thank you so much for being our God. I ask, Lord, that you come and visit us tonight. Bring your Holy Spirit, let your Holy Spirit fill each and every one of us, Lord, a refilling. And we praise you, Father, for that glory. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father, for your leading tonight. I thank you, Father, for your presence felt across this fellowship in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that you're the God that that healing occurs, deliverances occur, circumstances are fixed. And we praise you, Father, for all the things that you're doing in our lives, Lord. Thank you for your word that shows us how to walk this sanctified life, Lord. It wouldn't be possible without you. And we praise you, Father, that when we walk this walk and act like Jesus, that Lord, you're anointing be upon us, and the power of the Lord God Almighty be evident everywhere we go, that when we speak, it's as an oracle of you, Lord. And I praise you and I glorify you, Father, for all of your presence among us tonight. Let the gifts be in operation, Father God. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Ooh, glory, hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. We just praise you, Father, that everybody here tonight would be blessed by your presence. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you're drawing near to us. You're drawing nigh to us. You're drawing into us, Lord. You're drawing us to you, Lord. And I praise you for that. Glory be to God. Thank you for your sanctification upon each and every one of us, Lord. Sanctifying the body, sanctifying the mind, sanctifying the soul, and sanctifying the mouth. And we praise you for it, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be a special night. And we praise you. We just want to ask you, Lord, to lead us and guide us tonight into the things that you'd have us to talk about. Lord, give us wisdom. Give us discernment. And we thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for all you're going to do tonight, Father God. And I know that we have an open heaven, that when we pray, things happen. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Glory, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Amen and amen. Well, all right. Does anybody have? Wait a minute. I wanted to read a psalm, if I might, and I can because I got the mic. Amen. I want to read the last two verses of Psalm 139. And it says this, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Glory to God. Yes, Lord, that's my prayer for me and everybody else too. Lead us in the way everlasting. Thank you, Jesus. Draw's near, Lord. Oh, glory to God. Amen. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Because God's going to answer. About a testimony? You get one up. Yeah, Marilyn.
Well, actually, can we go back to the prayer request?
Yes.
I just because I was just so moved when you said, pray and God's going to answer. Father, I lift up my stepbrother to you. He was only my stepbrother for a few years, but Lord, I have prayed for all my family to come into the kingdom, and that includes John. And Lord, I know when he had COVID and he was in ICU for 30 days last year, You saved him. You preserved him. You didn't let him die. So, Father, you know what's going on with him now. More than anything, Father, I just command Johnny, you're coming into the kingdom. Father, I don't know how you're going to do it. Praise God, Father, we don't want to put you in a box. You can do anything, but that I do pray an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon Johnny and upon my stepsister and my stepbrother's two brothers. Lord, that you're dealing with them. You're working in their lives. Father, that you would draw them all to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, enlighten the eyes of their understanding. Give them a revelation, the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation of the knowledge of Christ. Father, the beautiful conviction of the Holy Ghost to let them repent and believe. And Father, I'm also bold to ask, Father, that you would touch Johnny and you would heal him. But more than anything, Father, that you preserve his life unto the day of salvation and that he's not going to leave this world unsaved. So, Father, I believe, boy, when Brother Michael said that, I believe it. And Lord, the word you gave me today when I asked for a word was Psalm 119 and 89. The word of the Lord is forever established in heaven. And Lord, I'm just standing on your word that whatsoever things we pray, believing that we have received, we will have them. And so, Lord, I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I believe it with the glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for bringing me. Praise your holy name, Lord, because I know you're a good God, you're a gracious God, and you're a merciful God, and you'll do whatever we ask, Lord. That's her stepbrother, and Lord, we thank you. You said that you would have, we could have household salvation, and I believe it, and I thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord. He's coming in. Praise God forevermore. Thank you, Jesus. I think we're going to be surprised when we get to heaven that all the people that we prayed for are going to be sitting up there waiting on us. We're going to have a party. Glory to God with Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, I thank you, Father, for bringing me in. Anybody else? I just pray for everybody's family, everybody that everybody's been praying for. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that when we get up there, we're just all going to gather around all of our relatives and friends that we prayed for these many years, Lord. And I thank you for it. Lord, you told us not to even worry about it because as long as we walk that sanctified life, when we pray, you're going to hear our prayers and they're coming in, glory to God. But, you know, and I thank you, Father. It doesn't make any difference how they come in, Father, as long as they make it. This little old blink of a life down here means nothing to eternity, Father. And I thank you for it, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name. Glory to God. I believe it. I believe it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Woo, glory to God. I feel the Lord all over this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. My. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this fellowship in Jesus' name. Yeah, go ahead, one of y'all.
Hi. Hey, I just Lana. Wanted to, it's clear, but I'm happy to hear I sound more American.
Oh, you do? Yeah, you picked up an accent there, a Russian Missouri accent.
Dobre utro.
Go ahead, Claire.
So I have a testimony. One of the days that the Galchenkos were with us, we took them to this beautiful place on the East Coast called the Blowhole. And there's all these amazing rocks that were not formed millions of years ago. And water just at the right time, like the water from the, you know, the sea spray just comes through these rocks, and it looks like a whale's blowhole, but it's not. It's just the rocks. So, you know, the kids are having a great time and they're playing, and I've got my little tabby who just loves nature, and she's, oh man, you know, she'll pick up anything, dead or alive, and she just loves God's creation. She gets a little bit overzealous sometimes and takes things off that are hindering her from reaching into crevices. So she had a bracelet on, a very expensive bracelet that I would never buy my children, but my aunt had given it to her and I let her wear it because what good is it if it's in the cupboard? So we go to the blowhole and we get in the car and we go down to another place like an hour away, and we have lunch and we spend the whole afternoon, and at about 6:30 we're driving back, and Tabby keeps on saying to Riam, "Daddy, just remember Bishano, just remember Bishano." And I'm like, what is this kid about? Like, we've already been there today. Anyway, she lost her bracelet in a place that is moving with tides all the time. Like, there's just no chance that you're going to find something once you've lost it, right? And I will add, for the brevity of this, this is not the first time this has happened. And so we have tried to instill some kind of responsibility and attentiveness characteristics into our children. But they haven't been learned yet, and that's okay. But when Rian then looked back and he's like, "Oh, you didn't tell your mother?" And I'm like, "What didn't you tell your mother?" And she says, "Oh, my bracelet, I lost it." And I, a couple of years ago, would have lost it too, but I didn't. I just took my head covering and I was like, "I'm going to go pray." And I got out the car and I went down and I started praying, and I was rebuking every single thought that was in me that I thought, you know, like, you, the enemy will just send you these thoughts, but I taught you and I told you, and just rebuked it all, put my hands up in the air, started praying in tongues. And the rest of the party is out on the rocks. I mean, where are you going to find a bracelet? Like, how are you going to find the bracelet? Like, it's just, and I put my hands up. I'm like, "Speak to me, Lord, please speak to me." And I hear him say, "Whatever you ask for, believe that you have received." And as I turn around, I see Theo and Tabby rejoicing because they found the bracelet.
Praise God. God is so good.
I mean, that's it's just how? How would you find it? The tide has come in, tide has gone out, and it's moved. It was somewhere, and then it was somewhere else. And it was even covered under seaweed, and we think, like, so that nobody else picked it up, right? But how amazing is that? And this kid is just in God's favor, and he loves her, and it was so humbling because if he can do that for her, and he's so patient with her, I have no right to get upset or impatient that she's not looking after her things, because I don't look after my things that the Lord gives me either. You know, I'm also just learning. So it was just really, really such a good testimony. And we had such amazing praise in the car on the way home, and it was just so good. So thank you, Lord.
Awesome.
The other thing, like, last week Sunday, so before the Galchenkos arrived, my Mika fell at the skate park. I'm not like a skater mom or anything, but there's nothing much else to do. So I take them to the skate park sometimes, and she fell really badly, and it was by sight, like, it wasn't looking good. And we did very minimal things, and we just started praying. And as it started healing, she hit it when we went away with the Galchenkos on the side of a wooden chair. And it just, oh my goodness, this was on Thursday night already. It was just unpleasant to look at. And it's been a week and 2 days, and that knee is healed. Like, the skin is, which is something that we just can't do either. Like, it's not us, it's the Lord. And she's walking around and she's back at the skate park and just loving it. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yeah. Lord, hallelujah. Well, y'all must be having some great weather down there. Awesome.
Yes, it's been good. It's a bit cooler the last 2 days, raining right now, but that's par for the course. But it's been lovely. Lovely.
All right. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else got a lovely testimony? I love that accent. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, this is more of a question. And there's a person, actually two people, that want to have fellowship with me so that that we can do Bible studies together. And it's been made mention to me, well, from my son Ben. And I did get a scripture verse on it, because, you know, with a Bible study, you know, I'm not saying that they need me necessarily for this Bible study. They need the Lord for the Bible study. And that would be probably one of the first things I would say. And the only Bible verse, like, I didn't look in the Bible, but I was just studying, and then a verse came into my head about fellowship, sword sharpeneth sword. And that was kind of a comfort to me. And so it hasn't started yet, but I'd like to be asked for a prayer about that kind of stuff, because I'm not usually one who does Bible studies. Don't really know how to go about it too well. Anyway, I can do one with myself, but when there's two other people involved, then of course the Lord has to lead me in all of it, so I just like some prayer for that. Anyway.
Okay. Andrew, I missed what the subject was, because I had something distract me, and I apologize.
Well, I've been approached as to have a Bible studies with two other people.
Okay.
Ben, and of course his girlfriend. And it's something that we haven't started yet. I got a word on it. Like, I studied this morning, and I got a word that sword sharpens sword. So that's kind of like a fellowship verse. And they really need the Lord for Bible study. They shouldn't be coming to me for Bible study, but we still have to study the Bible. And if they want to study the Bible together, that's okay with me. So I just like prayer about that.
Okay. Well, Father God, we just lift up Andrew to you. Lord, I know that he's close to you. He's a good teacher. And Father, I ask and I pray that you give him wisdom into the direction that you would have him to go with these people. And I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that not only would you give him wisdom, you'll give him revelation in your word, in the things that he needs to speak about, and that they would talk about. And Lord, I thank you for doing that. And I ask and I pray, Father, that he will speak only as an oracle of you. Amen. And keep this Bible study on track. And I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that it's going to be a blessing to him and a blessing to Andrew as well. And I praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in him right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for giving him discernment and speaking to him as to what the direction you'd have him to go, in Jesus' name. Everybody believe that? I believe it. He's going to have a great Bible study.
Glory to you, Lord, for all of this. And thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead. Go ahead, Benjamin.
I'd like to add on to that. thank you, Lord, thank you, Father, for my father, for my dad. He's taught me a lot throughout my He's taught me through him a lot throughout my walk with Christ. And you even taught me through him before my calling to Christ. You've taught me truth through him. You've encouraged me through him. And you've brought me a lot of words of wisdom through him. He's shown me right from wrong, and he's brought me out of dark places, and he's shown me truth and understanding He's shown meekness and restraint on things that I didn't fully understand. And I thank you so much, God, for letting me go to him again to help me with my girlfriend, Karen, because there's questions that she has that I can't answer. And I have someone to look to in a local fellowship. I thank you so much, Lord. May you guide us to truth, understanding, and to grow in maturity with you, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, Basita. Yes, Lord. It's going to be an awesome time, y'all. Okay, anyone else? I wish I was there. We'd all have a good time. I wish all of us was there. It'd be great. Go ahead, Isaac.
I have a question. And then I think it's, well, then it's going to be a prayer request. My question is this. Can an enemy give you dreams?
Yes.
They can. Okay. Because I've heard of factious dreams.
Yep.
Okay. No, let me say this.
As a matter of fact, Isaac, we've been hit with that here just recently, and it's coming from witchcraft.
Huh. Well, I feel like I've been attacked, man, but I feel like I've been being attacked for a long time, and I've been just dealing with it. And I'll tell you my factious dream without telling you the dreams, because, I mean, I could just go on and on and on. It's like every night, man, boom, it just hits me and hits me. But it's not about anybody per se. It's about me. It's about, I woke up in a dream last night, and I woke up, and I just take them, and for a long time, I'm like, okay, it's a correction dream, and I do have those, and when I do get a correction dream, I feel like I know it is one. And then sometimes I get dreams and they're just perverted. They're not okay. And I have to cast that down. One time, this was specific. One time I had a dream that was perverted. And I was getting hit with the dream, but I was asleep. And then I heard thunder, boom, outside the house. And man, it like shook the whole house. And when you ever just wake up for a dream and you know that it was God. And I felt that time that God woke me up out of that dream to get me out of it. And it was that thunder. Thank God for that. And other times, a lot of the times, the dream is this. It's not about anybody per se, but it's about me. And saying who I'm not, because I had a dream last night that, you know, I woke up, and when I woke up, thank God, it must have been the Holy Spirit, but I woke up, it's probably 5 a.m. or something, and I just laid there. You know, sometimes this stuff, in the past, I would take it real hard, and I would lay there defeated almost, go about my day, condemned, defeated, whatever. Well, last night I woke up, and I said, that's not who Christ said I am. That's not who he said I am. I'm called and elect. It's Christ that lives in me. That's who he said I am. You know what I mean? But I think I'm ready. Oh, I know I am. Don't think it. I'm ready for this to end. Because I was getting really good dreams for a long time. And the Lord knows my heart. You know, I cast down thoughts all the time. And Mariana made a good point. She said, Isaac, you do cast down thoughts, you know, quickly. And it was really awesome. Because it was God and and I always say my reaction time. I mean, I would say it got to the point with reading the word and really praying. I felt like my reaction time was within a second. Thought popped, boom, no, I cast it down in Jesus' name. That's not okay. And then it laid off me. But then I felt like, maybe I might be wrong. So bear with me. I feel like the enemy was getting me in dreams. Well, we ain't getting him in his mind and we ain't getting him in there. But we'll get him dreams, and we'll get him in faction against himself, because if we can get him to believe who he is not, then I'm just saying here. If we can get him to believe who he's not, then we can get him to feel rejected. And I just don't want that. I don't need to receive it. I don't need it. Does any of that make sense though?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
absolutely. We have people that does the same thing. Not so much. That's what you're talking about. A lot of times it's witchcraft. A lot of times it's just the enemy trying to get you off course.
Sure. Sure. Well, I'm tired of it. Can we pray and cast it down?
Absolutely. You do it and I will back you up.
That's good enough for me. All right. Well, dear Lord, I thank you, Father, for letting me humble myself and ask my brothers and sisters. Because Isaac ain't nobody, but it's Christ in me. It's Christ in me. And I thank you, Father, that you're with me, you're in me, and I claim it 100-fold. And Lord, I thank you for healing my mind, healing my body, and giving me rest and healing my dreams. That I get dreams straight from the throne room. Hallelujah. For that, I receive it in Jesus' name. I receive it. And Lord, I thank you for dreams that are going to bless the body. And Lord, grow me into maturity more and more. Less of me and more of you, Father. And I cast down witchcraft and faction. And the faction against myself, Satan, you hear me? The faction against myself to say that I am not who the word says I am. I'm exactly who the word says I am. A son indeed and free in Jesus' name. And I received it. You take note of it and you go on in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you that his dreams are from this point on from you and the enemy can't penetrate the wall of fire that we pray around him at night when he sleeps, Lord, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, that they're going to be pure as the driven snow, Lord, as they say, but it's going to be pure as your Holy Spirit says, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for giving Isaac good prophetic dreams once again in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's done, brother. Go ahead, Andrew.
I'd like to pray if anyone else is getting these kind of dreams also, Lord, that you would show up, Lord, and show them that this is not a dream from you, and that you would teach them and counsel them that whatever this faction or this division from your true word, your Holy Spirit and the gift of new life, that you would keep these people from any confusion or any kind of takeover from in these dreams, and give them all good dreams. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Just remember this, everybody, just remember this. You have to have two or more witnesses that you're messing up. So if it's just that devil telling you that, you tell it, go in the name of Jesus. Leave me alone. I ain't got to put up with your biff. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Fio, is that you?
It is Fio, but I just wanted to share something that Isaac and Andrew have prayed about. My dreams were attacked for probably about 3 months. And I knew some of them I knew outright were wrong and not from the Lord, and others were so close to what I believed to be the truth that the dream started accusing people, not necessarily anyone I have anything against, but just people, or myself as well. And eventually I realized, I share this with all humility, like I did have some unforgiveness in my heart, and I dealt with that, and I got a confirmation dream about that being dealt with, and that dream aligned beautifully with the gospel, and there was no deceit or deception in that dream, which is great. But what I've done over the last decade or so is whenever I have a dream, I write it down or I type it up and I get word for it, and I will meditate on it, and sometimes I'll know immediately it's for the body. Sometimes I'll know immediately it's for myself. And then I've got a folder that's called personal warnings, and then I've got a folder that's called maybe dreams, because sometimes it's not apparent to me. Sometimes I think it's a pizza dream, and sometimes I even have dreams about pizza, and then the Lord will reveal to me that this is actually spiritual or whatever. So I have these maybe dreams, but I only put them in there once the Holy Spirit has, you know, set it in my spirit. And because I've had so many factious dreams, the ones that need to be edited or cleaned up by me, there were like 20. And I was too scared after coming out of that trial to look at my dreams. So it's been about 10 days. And this morning, I was spending some time with the Lord, and I just said to him, I'm like, please, I need to clean up this folder, because I know he works like that with me. Once I've got enough in the folder, he doesn't give me dreams. He's like, deal with everything in the folder, send it on to who it needs to get sent on to, and then you'll get more. Like, that's just how he works with me. He's not legalistic, and it's not a, I'm not saying anyone else should use or have that relationship or that thing with the Lord. And if he decides to change it, I'm only his vessel, right? But this morning I got to go through the dreams that were just in the, let's call it the rough draft folder, for lack of a better word. And probably I had about 20 in there, and probably 16 of them I could now see, given that time and given that distance from the dreams, I could clearly see these are factious. Not because of me, not like it's not me being factious. They were sent to me, and the Lord was trying me with them, and I never sent them on. Thank you, Jesus, because imagine if I'd sent all those things on, like that would just be me being a vessel of dishonor, you know, because the accuser of the brethren stands in front of the throne room all day, and he is relentless in his accusations. That would have been me. But by the grace of God, I could just leave those in the folder and come back to them after a period of respite and a period of seeking the Lord. And now all those dreams, they're not even in the maybe dream. I just deleted them because they're never going to need to be read by anyone else. So praise the Lord for cleaning up the dreams. And I rebuke you, Satan, for thinking that you have got a hold on those who have got gifts from the Lord. Every one of us has been lavished with good gifts, Father, and we want to be vessels of honor unto you, Lord. So I rebuke any guilt, shame, infection that is coming from any source. And Father, I pray for soft, clean hearts, pure hearts that are running after you, Lord, for not only me, but for all the brethren and all the dreamers. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name.
I will maybe add to that as well and say that one thing that we've learned is to never accept accusations against other brethren in dreams, right? That's what we've learned. I mean, we knew this, but I'm just kind of stating that again, because that's what the enemy will come and do. He'll come and bring those dreams, try and accuse the brethren without witness, right? So if they don't represent something, or their names don't mean something and fit in, then it's an accusation. And it's the Lord teaching us, right? He's showing us, so training us up in discernment, training us up in, will we accept lies? Will we be able to see the lies? Will we make sure that it lines up with the word? And what does the word say about it? And not act rashly, like Glenn said, we've done that in the past. We just send it on and go, oh, this is a warning, you got to check, and then it's wrong, because it's caused other people to stumble. It caused judgment and criticism and faction. And then you're being used as a vessel of dishonor. So yeah, thank you, Lord, for teaching us and showing us discernment.
Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we walk this walk and we learn as we walk along. You know. Praise God. Go ahead, Ozzy.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. That's so wonderful and enlightening. Really, it is. And thank you, Lord, for wisdom to your saints. And I want to tell you something else that just slipped my mind. I meant to say, and it was something so small that made me feel so good, because it's been a while, you know. I just kind of, when I think about it, and I'm not at work and not too busy, I'll cast it down. But well, you know, I think about David's testimony, how he had the "You shall die, not live." Then he did the faith by random again. It says, "You shall live and not die." I was thinking about that myself. Well, no, it is Christ that liveth in me. But I'm mull over it too long, but that's gone. So I'm not rehashing that. What I'm trying to say is I kind of been dealing with this, like I was telling you guys earlier, for too long. And so I prayed a prayer on my way home from work because I got like an hour drive, and I usually try to pray or pray in the spirit or listen to worship music. And I was driving home, and this may sound goofy really or immature, but I said, I thought to myself, you know, if I ever have, when I have a good dream of somebody, I love to share those and bless others. But like I say, you know, I get attacked personally too much. It's like relentless in my dreams. And for too long, I've been believing it. And I'm just like, I don't think it has to be this way. I think his grace is sufficient for me anyways. And well, I said this in my prayer driving home. I said, yeah, like I say, it may sound funny, kind of embarrassed to say it, but whatever. I said, Lord, would you just bless somebody? I want to be blessed. I'd like to have a good dream about me. And then I stopped that. And I said, no, that's not what I want at all. And I stopped myself in that because that wasn't, I felt like in my heart, right. And I said, no, Lord, let them dream about Jesus. And let them dream about Jesus in them. And I gave it up. And that's all I said. I know it seems funny, but but that's what I said. And I meant it from my heart. And I like that. I like being corrected like that when it's like I feel the Holy Spirit push me in a certain direction, but do this. That's okay. That's exciting, man. It's exciting to hear the Holy Spirit, wrong or right, because he's here to guide us. And it's the spirit of truth that proceeded from our Father. But check this out. So I texted a buddy of mine, actually, Gabe. I texted Gabe, and I just, you know, I hung out from Florida when we lived there, and came over to see the family, seeing his family, and I texted him, and you know, and I don't text a whole lot, and sometimes people text me, I don't get back to them for days later, or vice versa. So that never bothers me. I don't care. That's just how I am. I get kind of caught up. And just don't get back to it. Well, what happened was I didn't hear back. I didn't think about it. And then Sunday, I texted him Friday and Sunday, he texted me. He goes, oh, man, I forgot to text you. But I had a dream that night from the Lord that the Lord told me to text you back. And, man, that just felt so good to know that my Father cares that much about me, that he cares that much about a simple little text. Now, I wasn't thinking about these things. You know what I mean? I was you know, that'd be another thought to cast down, because that doesn't matter, man. Sometimes I'm real bad about texting and getting back to people or returning phone calls. I hate to say it, but I am. But man, it just felt so good. It actually brought me to my knees, and I just went and prayed, and I said, Lord, thank you. You know, really thank you, Father, that you would do that, that you, it's important to you to know that these small things matter to me, that they matter to you too. And that you want to keep me in touch with the brethren. That just really blessed me so much, man. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it other than that. But anyways, thank you, guys.
Amen. God is good. Thank you, Father. All right, Theo, go ahead.
I'd like to share a testimony, if that's okay.
Well, sure.
Of deliverance. I, for the past few months, have allowed jealousy to enter in. I would travel a lot, as you all know, and Lana would be home with the brethren, and every day there's something going on, you know, at UBM. There's always food, and there's always spiritual food. And so I would fall behind. I'd fall behind on the teachings. I'd fall behind on the outreaches. And I allowed jealousy to come in because Lana was not. She would get all the teachings. She would keep up to date with everything. And, even simple things like the blog, I couldn't keep up with that. And so that started brewing, you know, and getting worse, and allowed for more rejection to come in, because if she had brought up a topic, and it wasn't my idea, it was almost not repulsive, but I guess I was repulsed by it because it didn't come from me, and I'm the head of the household, and you know the enemy keeps just attacking you there, and I'd be so worn out after my work days that I would go to the hotel and I would just get buried in YouTube, or I'd turn on a computer game. And when I would try to read the word, it was like reading, I know you've had this where you read something and you don't know what you read. You read the whole page and it's like nothing came in. And that's how it was. It was like drinking dry water, you know. It doesn't do anything for you. And then one thing that also prevented seeing this was pride. I had pride that I'm, you know, the head of the household. I'm all these things. And pride blinds you even more. And so there's all these things that just come and fester, you know? And so here with Rion and Claire, I started just kind of opening up a little bit. And then it all just came flooding out. All these, and Lana was there. And the Lord just gave us such repentance and humility to be able to open up about this. And we started praying about it. And so there were, Claire saw these two snakes wrapped up. One was in my abdomen, the snake of jealousy, and we cast that one out and it left. And then there was another one, a white snake in my side that we cast out. And, you know, praise the Lord, that desire to read the word is back. You know, the ability to delete all the games off my phone, my laptop, just, it was easy. It was so simple. And I feel like the Lord's given me back so much time, because I mean, hours and hours would just go for nothing. And you go to sleep in the hotel and you wake up for work and you're somewhat energized, but you know, you didn't really get any good rest because you were so busy watching, all the different avenues, all the channels in YouTube, and, you know, the conspiracy theories, all these useless topics that don't bring any fruit, and they never end. There's always something to listen to, so always something to pick up. So I'm just so thankful for forgiveness, for God's grace, for seeing how the enemy just, you know, traps you so easily. And the problem with me was I always had great willpower. If I wanted to lose 5 pounds and cut out sweets, I could do it. You know, if I wanted to go to the gym every day, I could do it. And it was the arm of the flesh and I could force myself. But the closer I got to Christ, the less my willpower had any power. It's like backwards, you know, it's Christ in you that does it. It's not you. You know, so praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for God's grace. It's just, it's amazing. And I just wanted to confess this all to you, because I would join the outreach calls and I would even participate, but I was really struggling and broken. And I'm so thankful for God's grace and for deliverance, because I've never really had a deliverance. You know, even though I've always been in the Christian church and I was with the brethren now, but I've never actually had that deliverance, the true deliverance. So I'm so thankful. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for your deliverance. Praise God forevermore. YouTube's out the door. Games out the door. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I wish they'd take YouTube off the internet. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, except for the songs.
Keep the UBM stuff on it.
Yeah, keep the UBM stuff on it. That's right. Amen. All right. Thank you, Lord. That is a beautiful testimony. Thank you, Phil. Yeah, thank you for a new Phil. Glory to God. Go to Australia and get delivered. Praise God forevermore. Thank you, Lord. All right. All right, we're going to listen to a worship song. And Judah, I asked her to get me one because I was busy doing something else. Okay, now you can.
Hey, Michael, can I ask a question real quick before you do that?
Yeah.
Theo, I got a question. What do you think the white smoke?
You muted yourself, Pat.
It was.
I sound a lot better when I do that.
It was.
What
pride.
Do you think? Pride.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. Thanks.
Maybe. All right, Julie.
When giants come calling my name, my God is so much bigger than troubles I face. Why would I hunger for power, riches, or fame? So much better than all of these things. So I won't be shamed. Cause they know the battle is done. My God is stronger, the victory's already won. Yeah, he died for my ransom and rose up on the third day.
Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Woohoo! That'll perk you up. All right. I got a promise here. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh. Thank you, Jesus. And give you a heart of flesh. Praise God. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, because we know it's being done even as we speak. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else got a promise they'd like to share? Yeah, Phil.
John 5:39, I got this morning. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Pat.
Sorry about that. I lost my verse. Hold on. Psalm. Psalm 32, verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Marilyn and Barry.
I have Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Father. You got one, Marilyn?
I should, but I don't have one yet.
Okay, that's fine. Go ahead, Isaac.
I got two in the same chapter real quick that I've been saying this week. Psalm 17, 3. Thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and findest nothing. And this one I've really been saying. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Say that daily. And this one I really love. Psalm 17:15. As for me, I shall behold thy faith and righteousness. I'm sorry. As for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness, and I shall be satisfied when I awake with beholding thy form. And Mariana.
That's Hebrews 10:10. By which will we have been made sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Julie.
I was in Psalm 63 today. I want to read a few verses, if I may. Psalm of David, when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, thou art my God. Earnestly I will seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh long for thee. In a dry and weary land where no water is. So I have looked upon thee in the sanctuary to see thy power and thy glory, because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. So I will bless thee while I live, and I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, for thou hast been my help, and in the shadow of thy wings I will rejoice. My soul falleth hard after thee. Thy right hand holdeth me up. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right, who's next? All right, David. Let's see, Timothy got John 19 and 30. I guess that was David. Could be Elena, too, either one of them. 19 and 30. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head, gave up his spirit. Amen. Gave it up to all of us. Lord of God. All right, Claire, Lana, Rayon, ever which one it is.
You're muted, Lana.
It's really hard to hear you. You kept talking.
Hi, everybody. I was in Romans 3 today, and I'm going to share a verse that stood out to me. I just had to repeat it to myself a couple of times. Can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law. It is based on faith. And that's 3:27, Romans.
Amen.
This is the one that came to me when Michael asked, being confident of this. Oh, sorry. Philippians 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ.
And we all said what was our favorite verse last night. We actually spoke about that. And I said mine is Galatians 2:20. It says it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And that life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. Faith which is in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. All right. Anybody else in that room? Is that everybody? Go ahead, Pat.
One more. Colossians 3:1. If then you were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth. For you died, and your life is hid in Christ, in God, with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall ye also with him be manifested in glory. That fits with the theme that the Lord has me on as regarding the hiding place. So.
Okay. Thanks, Pat. You got anything missing?
Psalm 118:6-7. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord is on my side among them that help me. Therefore, I shall see. I don't like that my desire part. It's in italics, but anyway. Therefore, shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. Anyway. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You're on our side. What can men do to us? Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. All right, Vanita, go ahead.
Okay, I've got Hosea 6. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live before him. Amen. That latter rain, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, daughter.
So mine is 2 Corinthians 5:18-19. But all the things are of God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not reckoning to them their trespass, and having committed to us the word of reconciliation.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Yeah.
All right. Did everybody? All right, Barbara.
Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed toward us. Amen.
Amen. Some more of that Southern Bible talk. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, Bob. Barbara, oh, I didn't put your hand down. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Marilyn.
Matthew 16 and 18 and 19. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
Glory to God. That's a good one. I could use it all the time. I'll bind that devil every time I think about it. Go ahead, Joe.
Mine's James 2:20. I got it yesterday morning. This morning I slept a bit. Sorry about that. Where is it now? Thou believest that God is one. Satan also believed, but it's sadder. Thank you.
Amen. James 2:19.
Yeah.
Yeah. Praise God. All right. Anybody else? All right, Ben.
1 Peter 4:10. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Anyone else? All right. Did everybody get my email? Did anybody not get my email?
Ben, Michael, I did not.
Okay, Ben, I know I sent it to you, so.
I didn't get it.
I didn't.
No. I didn't either, Michael. I know you asked me, and I never got the email.
I saw it on the blog. I mean, on the outreach blog.
Yeah, but I sent an email, a group email to everyone.
No.
Did anybody receive it? So that means my mail's still messed up. That ain't good. Y'all pray hard. Thank you, Lord. That email has to be fixed in Jesus' name. I command. Oh, David got it. So if David got it, y'all need to look in your spam.
You're not in my spam either. I don't know what happened, but I didn't receive.
Is it in your trash? Did you trash?
Nope, I looked there too. I looked there to see if I trashed it, and I didn't.
Okay. All right. Well, got a question. It says, what does it mean to lay our lives down for each other? And can you put that, do you have a copy of that, Judy, to put it up on the chat? Maybe I can, if you don't. It says, what does it mean to lay our lives down for each other, and examples of how we can lay down our lives for one another? Also, examples of how can we bear each other's burdens, and what does it mean to bear one another's burdens? And 1 John 3:16 was quoted, hereby know we love because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And then quoted John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. And then Ephesians 4:2, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. They would like an in-depth spiritual answers. Also, this verse keeps repeating in my mind and spirit is Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of you, bondman of Christ, Jesus, greets you, always striving for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all of God's will. All right. There it is. Judy's got it on the chat now. For those of you who couldn't hear me or didn't understand me. What does it mean to lay our lives down for each other? Somebody got an answer to that? What does that entail? I think I'm going to throw something out there and try to get this started. Go ahead, Julie. Where are you men at? I'm just saying. Pardon me? I was asking all the men where they were.
Oh, okay. Just briefly, what was coming to me is laying down your life for somebody would be to put that person first, let them have their way, let them... You might try to decide what you're going to do or go or what's important to you, but you could, you know, it's might be important to you, but it's like, you're going to let your brother, your sister, you know, their idea or what they suggest, you know, let them have the way, maybe because you can see it's really important to them or something, but it's just putting someone else before yourself and what you think your needs are or what you think matters.
Amen. All right, Pat. Thank you, Judy.
I got thinking about it on the way to work today. And so I kind of put it in the context of the body, specifically right here in this meeting. Because for most of us, there are a lot of us, we don't have a lot of, say, fellowship or you know, people around us that are, you know, like a church group around us or whatever. So I put in the context of this meeting, and I think that, being willing to listen, to each one, be willing to share whatever God puts on your heart, and to give out and to receive, and to I know it's probably kind of hard, but to take correction from people that may be on the site or in the group here. I think what I was thinking more in terms of was being able to view everyone here, and that if God will say, show me something about maybe somebody's struggles or an encouragement that somebody has or whatever, just being able to follow God's spirit and either pray or specifically seek to encourage or whatever it would be. But it's so I was more or less I guess the Lord just put it the thought in me is to, instead of focusing upon myself, my own needs, or thinking about myself, which, I mean, I don't know if everybody's like me or not, but I've done that all my life. And it is really a bit of a training to set whatever problems, whatever concerns, whatever struggles I'm having, and set them over to the side and just focus and listen to others and others' needs, and do what I can do as far as however the Lord would lead me to minister allow whatever's in me to go that way, instead of always seeking to find some sort of a solution for a problem or whatever it would be. So I don't know if that makes sense or not, but it's to me, it's kind of a reversal of how I've always thought. And again, it's kind of like a training process that you have to willfully just put your problems to the side and look to be a solution to help others. So I don't know. I think that's all I have to say.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Rion.
I wanted to kind of maybe put some context around that as well. So if you look at the word love, there is obviously agape, you know, like our brother Andrew there talks about a lot. So we have that there, which is laying down your life. But the word life there is suke. So that's the soulish life. And I read this morning, my reading for this morning was John 12. And it actually talks about that in there. So I thought I'd share that. John 12, where Jesus was questioned by the Greeks. And then he answered in verse 23, he said, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And I think this is what he's saying, is this is how the Son of Man will be glorified. He was talking obviously about the hour coming of him. This is getting close to his crucifixion. But I think there's a couple other clues there. It says, the hour has come, the Son of Man should be glorified. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall into the earth and die, it abides by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. So if it dies, it bears much fruit. So he explains that. He says, he that loves his life, suke, life, so the soulish life, loses it. And he that hates his suke life in this world shall keep it unto Zoe life eternally, the spirit life. So we have to lay down, when it says lay down our life for brethren, it's the suke life. That is our soulish life, which means our mind, will, and emotions. That is casting down the flesh, casting down our own selfish desires. And then Jesus said here that when we do that, we will bear much fruit, because that seed only bears forth fruit if it dies. And it's, but it's not a, not you're physically dying, laying down your life for your brother as in running into war and I'm going to die for you. It's about laying down your own will, your own flesh, your own selfish ambitions for the needs of others. So I just thought I'd make that distinction there, I suppose, between the words, the Greek words that it's actually using there. It's quite appropriate. If any man serve me, well, let him follow me, and where I am, there also my servant be. So that's about being a servant. It's about serving others, and serving others is thinking of them first, laying down your life, your suke, soul, mind, will, and emotions for them.
Amen. Very good. Ben, did you have something?
It's not much, but Philippians chapter 2 came to my mind. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to each of you, to the interests of others. And I know you probably all know that verse, but I've studied Philippians a lot, and the Lord showed me not too long ago about a humble service to weak people. And I sort of referred to weak people as our enemies. So as our enemies are persecuting us, we are sort of serving them in a purpose of, why aren't they rebuking me, or why aren't they like fighting me? Like they're referring to me. And it's basically us being Christ-like and not attacking them when they persecute us, and they're going to be like, why aren't they attacking us? And then they'll be like, oh, you know, Ben or Andrew or Michael's a Christian, you know, like they just don't do that. And they'll probably wonder why, like not only why, but like, why aren't they just like tempted to just defend themselves? And with that, it's sort of just like an enlightenment of like, I see that in them, and I want that. And, you know, they can want that, but they need to be given that. And that sort of example can be sort of like an eye opener to them. And then the Lord kind of showed me that the ultimate sacrifice was Jesus at the cross. And the centurion that was at that cross said, after he was put to the cross and he died at the cross, the centurion said, now that was the Son of God. That's a good example of that, at least. Anyways, not much more than that. That's why.
Well, that's good. That's good. Thank you, Father. Amen. Got some good answers. Go ahead, Ozzy.
Yeah, wow, you read me good on that one. So, yeah, you know, I was just thinking about that. And so to lay down your life, you know, I can give you an example of what I would have done in the past is, you know, you ever talk to somebody and let's say they're confiding in you or they have whatever it is, could be anything. And you tell them what you might do. Well, I would do this. Well, Isaac's, you know, my words aren't tried and true and they're not sharper than a two-edged sword, right? But in Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing even to the dividing of the soul and spirit of both joints and marrow and quick to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. And I've felt that before when somebody I've been talking to or they've confided, if I felt led to maybe, because there's times I feel led to just listen because sometimes that's all they want. And then there's been times where I felt okay to give a word, but it was a word from the Bible, right? So I have to lay that down. And so to lay my life down, like Rion said, my mind, my emotions and will, what I would do, because who am I? But it's who Christ is. And I can speak the same as Christ. And if the Holy Spirit give me a word, I can give that. I don't have to give myself or Isaac because, you know, what is that anyways? There's only one truth and it's in the word. I don't know. Just thinking about that.
Amen. Thank you, Father. To God. Anybody else? The thought that came to my mind, and this is just an everyday occurrence, you might think about, is when a brother or a sister asks you to do something, you already had something planned for yourself. How do you feel when they ask you to do something, and it's going to take your time away from whatever it is that you're going to do? Lord always did, only thing that the Lord left the people for was to pray to the Father. That's the only thing he left for, is to pray to the Father. And that's the way we ought to be. That's the way we ought to be, is we die to self and minister to the people around us. It's not about us. It's about what Jesus did. Walking like Jesus, talking like Jesus, and acting like Jesus. All right, anybody else? Let's see here. All right, examples of how can we bear each other's burdens. I'll tell you another example is, do you pray for the brotherhood of outreach? That's another one. We ought to be praying for each other on the outreach. You know, things are brought up every outreach that we ought to be praying against or for. Okay. That's one of the ways we can bear each other's burdens. Just pray with them. That's kind of thing. Anybody else got anything on bearing each other's burdens? Something else, if you see somebody around you that has a need, that if you got the means to do it, that's what God wants you to do, regardless of where it's going to put you. Yeah, Judy.
Well, something that's coming into my mind is, you know, about one of our brethren carrying their, you know, what is it, bearing each other's burdens is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where it talks about the God of all comfort. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, that we may be able to comfort them that are in any affliction through the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. I think that, I mean, that goes through like verse 11. I'm not going to read it all, but the afflictions that we go through, stuff that we suffer through and that we learn from, we endure in, by those very things that we go through and we're going through right now on our cross and putting our, you know, losing our life and that kind of thing and enduring our trials, that we will be able to help comfort somebody else who's going through a similar thing, their afflictions. You'll be able to relate to somebody at a level that you be able to relate to them because you understand, and it'll be the compassion and comfort of Christ that God will use you because of what you've already gone through, what you suffered from and endured, and what you overcame, and you know, your flesh that you lost. You'll God will give you the words. He'll give you the words to speak to help carry their burden, to help lessen that, and be able to pray for them and encourage them and lift them up. And I don't know about you all, but other people have definitely helped me by sharing scriptures or praying for me or helping me through a difficult time where, you know, it's just like I can't do this by myself. I need somebody to pray with me. You know, because wherever two or more are gathered in his name, he's there in the midst of us. And I've seen God work where he's given somebody a word, or interpretation of something or revelation of something that just kind of helped bring light. So I think that's a part of what that means. You know, burden is something you're carrying. It's a weight, right? So it's helping carry that weight. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's all about your brothers and sisters in Christ, helping them carry their burdens. Anybody else? I think the Lord wants us to look for ways to help people, you know, in a way that we hadn't done it before. How many of you have given? This is not for you to answer, but I'm just asking. How many of you have given, you know, even your last dollar to somebody because they had a bigger need than you did? And then the Lord turned right around and just blessed your socks off. Yeah, happens. And that's why he wants us to be givers and help our brothers and sisters best we can. I know when David called for help with the missionaries over there. Oh my gracious. There was so much that came through. It was awesome. It was so awesome. This is the whole UBM people are givers, great givers. And those people were blessed over there. They're still being blessed. They're still being blessed. Praise God. All right. Anybody else? Malcolm, you got something? Oh, you don't have a mic? Okay. All right, anybody else? Or was he just saying no to me? It's hard to tell with Malcolm answers. I want to bury your burden there, Malcolm. All right. Okay. All right. Doesn't have no mic or camera. All right, brother. Praise the Lord. We don't get to see you playing the piano anymore, huh? And don't have no mic. Okay. Praise God. All right. Anybody got a testimony of carrying somebody else's burdens and how we could do it? Yeah, Rhea.
Can I maybe just interject quickly? We just need some prayer quick. Come stand here, Tabby.
Okay.
Tabitha just went out to play and she touched the cat. And then her eye just started swelling up like that. Come have a look and see.
Okay.
Just
we can pray that out.
Closed and it's weird, full of strange things.
All right, in the name of Jesus right now, we command that spirit off of her right now. In Jesus' name, we command that spirit of infirmity to leave her, the swelling to go down, and her eye to be completely healed in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. It is already done. Now, swelling, you go down right now. In Jesus' name, you go down. Right now, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father. She's got 20/20 seeing in that eye. In Jesus' name. Amen. No problems whatsoever. All the symptoms go right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Everybody believe that? Amen. Tabitha's healed. She's healed. Tabitha, you're healed, girl. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. All good.
All yeah. Right,
go ahead.
Can I touch it, please? Could any of you like come across fun?
Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. We command that cat get off the property. We don't know if come back. Jesus' name. Matter of fact, you go make hot tamale. You make somebody a good hot tamale in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Missy. See, you know, stuck up in here.
Well, I have a testimony about bearing someone's burdens.
Oh, all right.
I did a lot of that the past week when I was with my parents, but one specific thing, there were times when the Lord just spoke to me about things and Sunday morning, I was Sunday I was supposed to leave, but I was sitting down and I was reading and all, and it was just I was reading my Bible, and the Lord spoke to me to take all the bed sheets off and wash them for my mom and dad, because I knew it was something that wasn't going to be very easy for my mom to do and be just one less thing, you know. It's just like the Lord has shown me to do that. So, you know, you can have this thought, you know, well, it's more important to sit here and read the word, you know, or whatever, think about yourself, you know, in that respect and legalism and that kind of thing. But it was just like the Lord, you know, just told me what he wanted me to do. And I just had many opportunities to just to deny myself and be a servant and not be served, you know, kind of thing. And with my parents and not to, defend myself or be defensive when something is said to me that, whatever. And, just so there not be conflict and tension or whatever. But so anyway, it was good. I learned a lot, and Lord just affirming certain things to me while I was there. And it was just really good. I just praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. We're having that. Bishop, when I went home, I put into practice what I had learned before I went there. I just, not like I normally do, I just kept my mouth shut and listen and didn't try to do anything but just do what God told me to do. And I did, and seeds were sown.
Amen. I'm not saying everything went, that I did everything perfectly or that I passed every little trial or whatever, but, I consider that, overall I really, overcame, and I just praise the Lord for that, So thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody? Yeah, Ben, go ahead.
So I don't have a lot of experience bearing some of my brethren's burdens, but I saw Jake not too long ago, and he's suffering from a pretty big injury from his jiu-jitsu and whatever he's doing, and he's out of commission for it for the next couple of weeks, praise the Lord. He's asking me to pray for him. And of course I tell him like, you should pray yourself, of course. And he's like, I do. And then he said, I asked him, I was like, do you read your Bible? Are you reading your Bible? And he's like, no, not as much as I should. And I'm like, well, you should read John 14, 15, 16, and 17, because those are some real good chapters in that book. And, I keep asking him, and he's like, man, I really should. And then I start quoting the verses that are in those chapters. And so I'm wondering if that's what it means to, carry, well, it's not a burden to say these verses, but to carry on through his infirmity and to try and pray for his infirmity like it's my own infirmity, because we share the same corporate body of Christ. That's what I'm trying to get at, is that we should try and be like, oh, my brother Jake's kneecap is all busted up. That means my body, not physically, but spiritually, I should kind of feel to fight it. Like it's my own body that's that's broken, kind of thing. That's the mindset that I've been looking at that situation that I'm in right now. Anyways, that kind of.
Amen. Well, I wonder, you said he's a Christian, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you asked him about Real Good News? Have you read that?
Real Good News, David's book?
Yeah.
I have yet to read it, but oh. I guess I could read it, and then I could tell him to read it.
Yeah, it's a real good book on faith and healing.
Yeah.
Deliverance. Yeah. Probably the second best book in my opinion. Out there with the sky behind Sovereign God. Well, Sovereign God's a good one too, because he's got healing in it also.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah, just keep praying for them. All right. Anyone else? All right. Anybody got something they'd like to talk about? Well, of course, David. Thank you. Oh, my. I'll see you tomorrow. No, I won't either. You'll be working. Amen. Go ahead, Pat.
Something I mentioned a little earlier before, the Lord kind of gave me a theme of hiding place or hiding in Christ or the secret place of the Most High. And so I was kind of thinking, when I'm driving to work every morning for about an hour and 15 minutes, so I get a lot of time to think and listen to the message and messages. But the Lord gave me this thought of a transformer. And I don't know if anybody, if everybody, anybody knows what an electronic, a transformer in electronics is. It's not the transformer on the movie of things turning from a machine into something else. This is an electronic transformer. And so I was going to, and it's interesting, the picture of that. And I'd like to try to explain it a little, just a little bit to describe what a transformer is. Basically, a transformer functions from electromotive by utilizing electromotive force, which is EMF. Everybody's heard about it, but it's the ability for when current is flowing through a wire, it puts off a magnetic force around the wire. It's a, you know, obviously an unseen, but it's like a magnetic force. And so when you take a wire and put another wire up just next to it, even though it's not touching, and you run current through that first wire, it bleeds over into the adjacent wire, and you can actually get current flow out of that. It simply is power that is being transferred from one wire through the air into another wire. So a transformer is a little like a piece of metal, or it could be a magnet or something, but it's a piece of metal, and you take two wires and you name one of them primary and one secondary, and you take these wires, put them together, and you wrap them around very tightly around a piece of a metal or something. And you might wrap it around there 1,000 times so that when you get to the other end of it, so if you were to say, open it up and look at that transformer, you can't tell which wire is which. You can't look at that transformer because they're all wrapped together really tight. You can't tell which is the primary and which is the secondary. But when you, again, send current or power or current flow through that first primary wire, you're able to tap off power and create current flow through the secondary. And when I think of that verse that I read in Colossians, where was it? I'm just going to read it again. For you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when you wrap yourself very closely, intimately with the Lord through His Word, and you wrap your life up in His life and wrap it around so many times that you can't, when somebody looks at your life, they can't tell the difference of whether or not that life coming out of you is it coming from the primary source of Jesus, or is that's life that's coming through you and being transferred into your life and coming out. And what happens when you go to connect up that secondary wire to something, you can connect it up to something, and it might be a light bulb or it might be something like that. The interesting thing of it is that secondary life of me or you or whatever may connect on to that work that it wants to do, or that might want that current flowing through our life to create, light up that light bulb. It doesn't really work unless the power current flow is coming through the primary source of Jesus in your life and bleeding and bleeds over into your life in order to create that work. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall ye also with him be manifested in glory. And when that light is produced in your life, somebody looking at that light, it's hard for them to discern whose light that is. Is that the light of Jesus, or is that the light of Pat? What is that? Where is that light? It's all the light of Jesus, because it comes through him. So I don't know if that muddies the water or whatever, but that's what I was thinking of on the way to work today. So anyway, I'm through.
All right. Well, you have a buck transformer and you have a boost transformer. Yeah, we can. Which one are you talking about? All right. Anybody else?
Explain them.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going down that road. All right. Anyone else? Oh, I'll tell you what, let's do. What is this? This is Tuesday night. Thursday night, let's try to get into the Sovereign God book again, if I can remember where we were. I think I got it marked. Try to get back into that Sovereign God. Do y'all want to get back into the Sovereign God? Okay, good. Chapter 2. Okay. All right. Anybody got anything else they'd like to share? Let me see if I can do this. Barbota. That it? freedom.
Oh.
I like freedom better. I can't do the other one. Hey, Cheryl. How you doing, girl?
Hi. I'm blessed.
Yes, you are. Praise God. Can I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
How do you pronounce your last name?
Swoboda.
Look at that. What does it mean?
Free man.
All right. Awesome. Theo, you got it right, brother.
Czechoslovakian.
Oh, okay. That's how come they do it. That's why they do it. Okay. Well, that's awesome. Amen. Yeah, I asked Theo and Rian and all of them up there if they knew how to pronounce it. He came back with the phonetic spelling of it. And also told me it meant freedom.
Yeah.
So, awesome.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, y'all getting some good weather down there?
Yes, it's hot. It's
Oh, that's good weather. That's good weather. That's a whole lot better than cold. Thank you, Lord.
I just got some electricity, so I'm very happy for that. I've been living off of a generator, and that's been costing a lot of money.
I expect so. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Well, you got the victory, girl.
Amen. I sure do. And I'm thankful for all the trials, and it's really humbled me, and I'm just ready to be completely dead to self.
Amen. Thank you, Father. How's your cousin doing? Trying to think of her name.
Georgina?
Yeah, Georgina.
We don't talk very often, but okay. As far as she's doing okay.
Okay.
I'm praying for her and believing.
She'll come back in, huh?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Well, I'll add her to my list also.
Thank you.
All right. Anyone else? Anybody got a prayer? They want to pray. Well, Father, I just praise you and I glorify you, Father. I thank you, Lord, that we could come to you in prayer and understand and trust you to answer our prayers. I thank you, Lord, for all of my brothers and sisters out here. I thank you, Father, for placing in their heart to walk like Jesus, to walk in the steps of you, Lord. We probably all read, How Shall We Die? We probably need to read it every day. But Lord, we thank you for killing our flesh, taking the world away from us, and making us more like you, Lord. And Lord, place it in our hearts to pray more, to pray to seek you for the things that you would have us want to do, that you would want to lead us into. Father God, I just ask that you just touch everyone that comes to you with words of knowledge, wisdom, and revelations into your word, into the things that are going to happen here shortly. And we thank you for it, Lord. You're the great I am. You're the one orchestrating this whole thing around us, Father. And I know and I believe, Lord, that when we come to you, that you will give us words of wisdom, words of knowledge, revelations out of the word into the things that are going to be happening. I praise you, Father, for protecting the dreamers, And Lord, I pray a hedge of protection around each and every one of them that the enemy could not penetrate in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that our thought life is constantly upon you. That when we wake up in the morning, the first thing that we think about is you, Lord. How can I serve my Lord today? And Lord, show me what I need to quit doing or what it is you want us to do. Thank you, Father, for doing that for all of us. Lord, I know that the ones that are sacrificing their life for you, that you'll have a mighty calling on their life here shortly. And I praise you, Father, that the walk that you've got us on, that we're each and every one of us are walking it like you want us to do it, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the angels that surround us, that do the work that you have them to do for us. Thank you for the angels that stay with us, that we can send to do the thing that you want us to do. Thank you, Father, for this supernatural walk that you've got each and every one of us on. I thank you, Lord, that we do, that we just keep our eyes and our ears tuned to your word. And we thank you, praise you. We thank you for it. Lord, I just lift up David to you, and I thank you, Father, for blessing him with the things that he needs and this ministry needs, Lord. We praise you. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for this great influx of provisions to do the things that you have already laid out before us. And I thank you for that, Lord. Lord, I thank you for warning us before anything that physically may happen around us, that we could do or be wherever you need us to be, Lord. Let us seek and understand where you want us, Lord, each and every one of us. And if we're in the wrong place, Lord, just make it well known to the people involved that you want them somewhere else. Thank you, Lord, for being our God. You look over us like the wonderful shepherd that you are. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. Amen. All right, David, go ahead, brother.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, buddy.
Can y'all hear me good?
Yes, sir.
So, there's actually, I'd like to share something before I say a prayer. And after moving here, and Lord works a lot out, and you go through these trials. And witnessing myself one family member at a time turning against us. And, one night I was talking to my brother, and this is a brother I had dreams about, that he was receiving the Lord and receiving the truth. And one day I was texting to him, and he did a complete 180 on me. And it broke my heart. I went to my room and sat on my own, sat at the edge of the bed. And I had tears going down my face, and I sat there, and I was like, Lord, you're going to have to help me with this one. It's just a little too much pain. And man, I was sitting with the lights off, and I thought that that room was about to shine up bright, because I felt the Lord walk in and sit right beside me. And I felt as if he put his hand around me and said it was going to be okay. And he taught me something, that through these trials, he puts a song in my heart. And the song goes, take me into the Holy of Holies. And every time I have a trial where I feel like it's tough to get out, I find myself walking off alone, and I would just sing this song, and I would feel the peace come over me. Just this peace that's, it's hard to explain even. And I feel it come over me, and I know that that's the Lord taking me to that place of peace, of rest. And lately I've been noticing that the enemy's realizing that he's not really using he can't use my family much because of this peaceful place that I keep going to. So he turns around and starts attacking my family with sicknesses, trying to separate me from my wife. He's trying to put these walls up, trying to have us build these walls, because he knows that if we're together, he can't do anything. And we started realizing that how, man, instead of us fighting together, the enemy wants us to fight against each other, tear each other apart. And man, when I realized that, I was furious. I was like, oh no, devil, no. I was like, you went a little too far. But with that, and took authority that second, and with that authority, I'd like to say a prayer over all the marriages. And Lord, you told us we could tread over all serpents and scorpions, and you meant all of it. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I bind you up, Satan, and take all your minions with you, and leave every single household here locally, on the outreach, everywhere. You leave the house now in the name of Jesus. We are covered by the blood of the Lamb. And you have no authority to be in that house. Lord, you gave us this promise, and we hold on to this promise. And we claim the peace of the Lord over every house. You cannot tear this body apart. You are powerless, Satan, and you are under our feet. We stomp you down. We tread over you because you've been demolished 2,000 years ago. And we thank you, Lord, for doing the ultimate sacrifice to give us this freedom and making us stronger in you, Lord. And Lord, give us the mind, Lord, and unite everyone as one. The wives and husbands, may everyone be united as one, and then come together as one big body and just demolish that enemy. He has no power. And we thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. That's right. We have dominion over that devil. He was defeated when Jesus went down there and got the keys. Praise God forevermore. Devil, you get out of our families. Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That's right. Hallelujah. Okay, good. You got that one, huh? All right. Anybody else get the message I just sent? Email? Hang on. Let me get. Hey, we're out of time. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We're having a good time tonight. Praise God forevermore. All right. Y'all be blessed. You hear?